Morning. Thanks for that, Anthony. Well, we're going into a time now, period now, as Lizzie said, of some sessions on encountering God, divine encounter. Apologies if my words are a little bit blurred this morning. We had an encounter last night, quite a prolonged encounter, with a mosquito. Oliver came into our bedroom, probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, saying that he heard a buzzing sound in his head. And like any sensible parents, we just ignored him, first of all. And then the second time he came back, he said, "No, I've got this buzzing in my head." And we sent him away and just said, "Try and ignore it." You know, he came back again, "I've got this buzzing in my head." And this time, Andrea, she put cotton wool in his ears and she sent him away again. We're getting desperate by that time, trying everything. And then he came back. And then by this time, I went to join him in bed. I said, "Come and join you in your room." And I came in bed and he said, I was praying for him, and I started rebuking this buzzing noise. I was getting a bit worried there was something, you know, something wrong with him. I was sort of, you know, praying about this buzzing noise, and then I started to hear it myself. I thought, "Well, that's not right. You know, it's come to me now." You know, and I realized it was a mosquito, and we just moved his bed out, and that was the end of that. But so anyway, apologies if I'm a little bit tired. That amazing encounter that Ezekiel had with God. When we read those sort of encounters in the Bible, it just lifts us, doesn't it? It gives us that new perspective. It gives us that image of God's glory. And I think also it gives us a sense of longing, a sense of desire, a sense of sort of craving almost for that kind of encounter ourselves. And that's normal, to crave, to desire, to encounter God. See, we only crave things that we've tasted before. And we've all tasted that divine encounter when we became Christians, when we met with Jesus that first time. Peter writes in his first letter, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." In other words, because we've tasted that God is good, it's only natural that we crave to meet with him, that we crave that pure spiritual milk, that encounter with God. So we crave an encounter with God, but we need an encounter with God. We need to meet with God, as we've just heard from Peter, to grow up in our salvation, to be changed, to be transformed. We need to meet with God. Paul writes in that well-known verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, "We who with unveiled faces all behold the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory." We're transformed, we're changed as we behold him, as we see him, as we see the risen Lord Jesus. That changes us into his likeness. So we need to encounter God. We need to meet with him. Encountering God is also what Jesus promised. He promised we'd encounter him. He said to his disciples when they were gathered just before he went to the cross, he said, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more." He said, "But you will see me. You will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Jesus promised that we'd go on seeing him. We'd go on encountering him. A little bit later he said, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." I'll manifest myself to him. Jesus promised to manifest himself to us. Meeting with God, encounter with God, was also prophesied in the Old Testament. We're familiar with the prophecy of Joel, where God says, "I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And that's the same thing. God is prophesying that he's pouring out his spirit, that he's going to meet with us. Ezekiel, in his prophecy, God says this, "I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel." As God pours out his spirit, he's equating that with showing his face to all people. And so encountering God is part of our normal Christian life. Of course, our Christian life is not just coming to church. It's not just doing Bible studies, going to house group and looking at the Bible together and singing songs in church. It's about, through those things, encountering God, meeting with Him. It was Bill Johnson who said, people can miss out on an encounter with God because they're satisfied with good theology. In other words, we're satisfied with reading the book, with knowing the book, without getting to know the author. So encounter with God is something that we're right to crave. It's something that Jesus promised. And it's normal in our Christian life. And what about Ezekiel's vision? Ezekiel's vision, he's sitting there, and this is about 600 BC. He's been one of the first group of exiles to be moved out of Jerusalem. And they've been placed, they've just been relocated along the side of this Kibar Canal. And the Babylonians have placed them there, and they're obviously very despondent. And they're sitting there, and this is their new home. And they're wondering what it all means. What's happened? Where's God? And suddenly Ezekiel sees this vision, this incredible vision. Words don't really do it justice. The heavens open. And he's taken right into the throne room of God himself, the very heart of God, where he sees Jesus on the throne. He sees this cloud of light, this flashings of lightning, the sound like the roar of waters, and these incredible cherubim, these fiery creatures of God's presence buzzing around, full of the Spirit. And they've got these strange, they've got the faces like a man and like a lion, like an ox and like an eagle. And it's thought that these represent the character of these creatures of God's presence. Like the man represents the wisdom, the understanding. The lion represents boldness, righteousness. The ox represents burden-bearing, servanthood. And that the eagle represents vision, prophetic, and sort of the soaring heights, if you like, of the heavens. So these creatures are buzzing around, and above them, there's this expanse, it's called, like an icy, kind of sparkling expanse. It crops up again and again in the Bible. It's the same expanse, it's called a pavement. When Moses and the elders meet with God on the mountain, there's this pavement, there's this expanse that's there below the throne of God. And it's a place of meeting with God. It's there again when John has his vision in Revelation. And there's this expanse in the sky. It's like a meeting point of God with man. And above that, there's the throne. There's the throne of Jesus. And this, he's obviously struggling with words, you know, from his waist above, there's Jesus, fire. And from there down, he's fire. That's all he can think to describe the glorious presence of Jesus, that rainbow around him there. What's the effect on Ezekiel of this vision, this encounter with God? We see at the end of the chapter, he just falls down on his face. Just like he's dead. He just falls down on his face. Our little girl Lauren does that. But that's because she hasn't learned to use her arms yet. She just falls on her face. But it's that kind of thing. You just fall on your face. It's dead. It's like he's dead. And he's overwhelmed. He's overcome. And four times he goes down. And God picks him up four times. And you can imagine he's just so helpless. And God's like, he's like a puppet almost. And God just picks him up by the Spirit and just places him on his feet and speaks to him. And then he goes down again. And God speaks to him again and lifts him up. And he goes down again. And the third time, God actually takes him and he transports him and places him back in another place among the exiles. And he's just lying there by the banks of the river. Completely helpless, it says, for 7 days. He's just completely helpless. He can't do anything. He's just overcome. He's just overwhelmed with God's presence. Just lying there. It must have been a very humbling time for Ezekiel. Just to be lying there in the full sight of all these other folk that he knew. And he's lying there overwhelmed with God. And God was preparing him for what was to come. See, God was transforming him. God was preparing him through meeting with him for the humbling experiences that he would have to face. Ezekiel went on to act out sort of living prophecies. God asked him to do some pretty tough things. One time he had to lie on his side for nearly 400 days. acting out the siege of Jerusalem. And then he had to lie on the other side for 40 more days. He was bound up with cords that he couldn't move. And he had to cook his food on animal dung. He must have been a laughingstock. At one time he had to make a hole in the side of his house and pull all his stuff through the wall of the house. Just take all his stuff out and through the side of the house. People must have been looking at him thinking, what on earth are you doing? And he was acting out these prophecies. And God was preparing him for the ridicule that was to come, preparing him to face, it says, briars and scorpions. The briars meaning the thorns, the people that would come against him, laughing at him, mocking him. And the scorpions meaning the powers of darkness, the demonic, coming up against him, the things that he would have to face. God was going to make him strong against those things, against the briars and the scorpions, ready to take that mockery and that humiliation. See, when we meet with God, when we encounter God, there's a dying. Ezekiel went down on his face as if he was dead. Ultimately, when we meet with God, there's life. But there's also, there's a dying. God says to Moses, no one can see my face and live. And whilst it's true that Ezekiel didn't die, and he went down on his face before God. He didn't die, but something in him died. A part of him died as he was there. God was transforming him. God was changing him. God was making him stronger, giving him a face like flint to withstand what was to come. And as we encounter God, whatever in us is not consistent with God and with his kingdom will die. And God will change us. God will transform us. I've just got an account which illustrates this point. It's an account from Heidi Baker, who is a missionary to Mozambique. And it's her account of her profound encounter with God that she had in 1998 as part of what was called the Toronto Outpouring. And the similarities here between her story and Ezekiel's story are incredible. I'll just read this to you. It says, somebody prayed for her, and she had this amazing encounter with God. It says, I experienced the heavenly fire of God falling on me. I was so hot, I thought I was going to die and burn up and die. I remember crying out, Lord, I'm dying. And I heard the Lord clearly spoke to my heart, good, I want you dead. He wanted me completely emptied of self so that he could pour even more of his spirit into my life. For 7 days, there's a similarity with Ezekiel again, I was unable to move. Roland had to pick me up as a husband and carry me. I had to be carried to the washroom, to the hotel and back to the meeting. The weight of his glory was upon me. I felt so heavy I couldn't lift my head. Some passing by thought it was funny to see someone stuck to the floor for so long. If I were put in a chair, I'd slide to the floor again. I was utterly and completely helpless. I was unable to speak for most of the 7 days. This holy, fearful, awesome presence of God completely changed my life. I've never been so humbled, never felt so poor, so helpless, so vulnerable. There was nothing funny about it. It was the most holy time. I learned more in those 7 days than in 10 years of theological study. That's interesting, isn't it? God changed her more, and she learned more in those 7 days than in 10 years of theological study. Just that encounter with God. God wanted her dead to be able to change her, and it was from that point that their ministry really exploded in Mozambique, and they're planting hundreds, thousands of churches there now. So when we meet with God, there's always a dying and a transformation and life. How do we encounter God? How do we meet with God? Well, the answer is to wait. Is to wait patiently. And that's not the sort of waiting like you might sort of wait for a train or wait for a bus, you know, just kind of looking at your watch, get out the paper. It's not that sort of passive waiting. It's an active waiting. It's maybe the sort of waiting that you would do if you were waiting for example, the view that you might get from the top of a mountain. And while you're waiting, you're climbing. You're climbing that mountain, and you're looking to the summit. And you're looking, you're waiting patiently for the view that's coming. It's an active kind of a waiting. When Ezekiel was waiting by the river, by the Kibar River, I don't suppose he was just sitting around waiting, just, you know, reading the equivalent of the paper, whatever it was. See, I'm sure Ezekiel was the sort of guy who was seeking God, who was looking to God. You know, what does this all mean? Why are we here by this Kibar River? Kibar, the word Kibar actually means to wait a while. They were by the river, wait a while. And there they were waiting, and Ezekiel was waiting on God. And then God turned up, and he encountered him. I've got another account of a man called Evan Roberts, who you probably know as he was the catalyst for the Welsh Revival, which went on to change the course of history, really change Wales, change the world. And Evan Roberts, writing about his encounter with God that was kind of the trigger, or a series of encounters with God that were kind of the trigger for this revival, this Welsh Revival. So back in 1904. And what it illustrates is the waiting. I just love this first bit that he writes. For a long, long time, he writes, I was much troubled in my soul and my heart by thinking over the failure of Christianity. For a long, long time, he was much troubled. He's waiting on God. But that night, after I'd been in great distress praying about this, I went to sleep, and at 1 a.m, suddenly I was wakened up, and I found myself with unspeakable joy and awe in the presence of the Almighty God. And for the space of 4 hours, I was privileged to speak face to face with him as a man speaks face to face with a friend. At 5 a.m., it seemed to me as if I again returned to earth. And it was not only that morning, but every morning for 3 or 4 months. I felt it seemed to change my nature, and I saw things in a different light. And I knew that God was going to work in the land, and not only in this land, but in all the world. Evan Roberts was waiting for a long, long time on God. He was crying out in distress. What's happened to Christianity in this land? Yeah, that could be our prayer. And then he encounters God. And there's a dying again, an ascending, with words to speak. So we need to wait patiently. Sometimes to encounter God, we need to lie in wait. I've seen a few films, I think they're called romantic comedy films. Actually, I've seen a lot. romantic comedy films, they always have a couple who get together, it seems by chance. But actually, I think in reality, if I'm right, when couples get together, it's more often than not because one or other, the man or the lady, has kind of lain in wait for the other one. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know if we... I mean, the example might be, you know, that in this, you know, somebody, some guy realizes that the lady that he likes, she works in a, I don't know, in a nightclub or something, and he goes to the nightclub and buys a drink every night, just lying in wait, trying to get an introduction. Yeah, or the lady likes a guy who works down at the library, and she goes and hangs around the library, reads books, and until they meet. You know, there's this sort of lying in wait. Is that true? I mean, is it, people put your hand up if you're in a couple and you met by the other one or other, you're lying in wait. There's one. Okay, fair enough. It was chance meeting. Well, there's always a chance meeting, isn't there? But then I think one or other perhaps lies in... Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Lying in wait. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had many celebrity encounters, but I did once, and you'll be impressed with this, I did once meet Philip Schofield and Gordon the Gopher. But to meet them, to get that meeting, I had to lie in wait. It was like a sponsored walk, and he was coming past on the back of a Land Rover, and me and my friend, we had to lie in wait for the Land Rover, and then we had to run after the Land Rover and say, Philip, you know, sign this, or whatever. And he said, you know, hello, Simon, what's your name? Hello, Simon. And we had to lie in wait. We had to lie in wait to get that encounter. And, you know, sometimes I think we have to lie in wait to meet with God. We maybe have to position ourselves in a particular place. For example, with the Toronto outpouring, we might have to go to a place where God is present in a special way to meet with his people. We might have to position ourselves in that way to wait for him. Certainly, my experience, my most profound encounter with God that I had was back in 1994, and it was as a result of the Toronto outpouring. I was at the just up the road in Stoneleigh, at the Bible Weeks in Stoneleigh, and I was desperate for an encounter with God. I'd seen a lot of people changed and meeting with God, and I hadn't had any sort of encounter like that, and I was getting increasingly desperate. And at the end of one of the meetings, everything had died down, there was no hype or anything, and there was just a group of guys who were on the floor at the back of the meeting, sort of at the back there, and they were just rolling around on the floor laughing. And I knew that God was among them. And I didn't know them, and I just thought, well, you know, I'm desperate. And I just walked over, and I just stood in the middle of these guys on the floor laughing, just hoping that something would happen. And one of these guys prayed for me, and I very quickly joined them on the floor laughing. And I laughed all night. I laughed all that evening. There was a thunderstorm, and it just put me in fits of laughter. I just experienced this incredible joy of the Lord. And it changed me so profoundly that evening. I was helpless. I had to be carried back to my tent by my brother and another friend. I just was all over the place. And it was funny to think of, but you know what really mattered was that God met with me and showed some of himself to me and changed me so much in that moment. We might have to lie in wait, be prepared to lie in wait. We certainly need to wait patiently for God to come and encounter us. So let's do that. We're going to sing a couple of songs now, but perhaps if you stand, we'll pray before we sing all together. Let's just come to encounter God in these songs as we sing this morning. We want to meet with him. And he's here among us now. He holds us together. He dwells in our hearts. Where two or three are gathered, he's there. He's here with us. He's here in our worship. He inhabits our praises. God is here, there's no doubt. You want to meet with him this morning? Just maybe reach out your hands if you want to, and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we desire, that we long to meet with you. May those cravings, desires grow stronger as we increasingly taste that you are good. Lord, we want to meet with you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, meet with us. We pray. We wait on you this morning. Come, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. You're so good. Your throne, Lord, such glory. In giving yourself, Lord Jesus, such mercy, such grace. We love you. Meet with us today. We open our hearts to you. Come, Lord Jesus.